You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rebecca, welcome.
Hello, Jen. Thank you so much for having me today.
I am so excited to talk with you about all things food and Savannah. You are such an expert. And for our audience, I want them to know a little bit about you. You're a five-star private chef, a culinary TV personality, speaker, and author. Rebecca has also been featured in Forbes, on Food Network, and ABC, just to name a few. And she is joining us today to share about her brand new book, Unique Eats and Eateries of Savannah. I'm so, so excited to dive into all of it.
Awesome. I'm excited too.
Yes. And I love your Southern accent. You're adorable. Okay. So first, we want to get to know you a little bit better. Where did you grow up and how did your love for Southern cooking begin?
Well, I have roots in a little town called Blythe, Georgia, right outside of Augusta, and also in Jeffersonville, Georgia, and that's about 30 miles south of Macon. So I love cooking because I grew up in a family who loves to cook and entertain. I come from a very long line of fine Southern cooks. My mother and grandmother and many great aunts and aunts love to cook, and I've just always been around it, so it was a natural progression for me.
Absolutely. And your home now is in Savannah, right? You've been there for a little while.
Yes, that's right. My husband is born and raised here. And so I like to say that I'm married in. I've been here almost 10 years now. So I think I can pass as a local.
Absolutely. So growing up with your family members who love to cook and were great at Southern cooking, do you have any really fond memories of being in the kitchen with them or remember any of the first things you learned how to make?
Oh my goodness. You know, I grew up around the family table, and those are memories that I will always cherish. My parents and grandparents made it a priority to eat together as a family. And we would often go over and visit my grandma, and she would always be in the kitchen canning pears from her backyard tree, or she would make a big basket of cat head biscuits and bring them to the table. And, you know, those memories are so near and dear to me. So I really started cooking on my own when I graduated from college and got out on my own. And so
when it's required, right? You got to feed yourself by that point. That's when we all figure it out.
If you want to eat good, you got to know how to cook good.
Right.
So, that's what I figured out very quickly. And then I just found myself in my spare time. I was always watching food TV, reading cookbooks and magazines, and you know, you really have to listen to your life. And so I just thought, I need to do something with this. And here we go. I just majored in public relations in college and was able to apply those writing skills and things like that to my kind of second career in food, which is great.
I love that. Well, I have to ask you, do you read cookbooks like novels? Because I read them cover to cover.
Yes, yes. I have quite a collection. I'm running out of bookshelf space and I love them. That is one of my favorite things to do. Just sit down with a cup of coffee and flip through a good cookbook. I get so inspired and I read through all the ingredients, kind of like a menu when you go to a restaurant. You know, if I'm
going
to a new restaurant, people get frustrated with me because I'm reading every single thing and I have to know the big picture before I can make a decision. So
yes, absolutely. I love reading cookbooks. I feel like you get to know the author's personality from reading it. You get to know some of their tips and tricks from reading their recipes. And I've learned so much just by reading and then trying to soak up that knowledge and apply it in the kitchen, you know, and just kind of you let it resonate with you for a while.
Absolutely.
I feel like food is so connected to our good memories and some of our feel good memories. So what are some of those dishes that you feel like you're carrying forward in your life now, you know, as a chef and in your family?
Yes, I love fried green tomatoes. I feel like anytime my mother and I would go out to eat and that was on the menu, we would always order them. And my mom liked to fix those as well. So definitely that Southern delicacy. Also, buttermilk biscuits. I have a 3-ingredient buttermilk biscuit recipe, and I've been a food columnist for a really long time, and I've published that recipe and shared it. And I have had people to reach out and say, I was always intimidated by the process of making biscuits, but I actually tried this and I can do it. And that was so encouraging to be able to share something like that with somebody who was, you know, had a little fear around making biscuits, and then they were able to successfully make it with just 3 ingredients, and it's really not that hard, and they are delicious. So it has so many variations, like urban cheddar biscuits or just plain old buttermilk biscuits. I make a great sweet potato biscuit.
Sounds so good, but it can be intimidating. I can understand why some of your readers have said thank you, because you know, when you love something like that so much, it's almost like you don't want to try it and really royally screw it up.
Right. But you know, the greatest teacher is failure.
That's true. So, especially, you know, in the kitchen, right?
Exactly. Some of my best recipes have come from not having the perfect ingredient written in the recipe, but, you know, making a swap here and there. And then it turns out to be something beautiful. So don't ever be afraid. Just try it.
Yeah. I always like to share about my epic fails too. Have you ever had any where you just really fell on your face and you were embarrassed about something that you made?
Of course. Yes. I remember one, I think it was Easter Sunday. We were making dishes to share after church, and I made carrot muffins. I like carrot cake muffins. And I think my baking soda had expired and they did not rise, and all of them were flat and they looked like donuts. There were holes in the middle and they were just terrible. And so that was that.
The ladies at church were like, okay, don't invite Rebecca back to the next potluck, because her carrot muffins were something.
Yes.
That's funny. I can just hear them talking behind your back right now.
Yes. They were not some kind of good.
I wonder if you have any tips or tricks that you could share for the home chef, somebody who is, you know, really wanting to try out Southern cuisine and, you know, make something. What would be a staple that you would encourage them to try? And then also, what would be some of your tips and tricks?
Mm-hmm. I think keeping a stocked pantry is really important for setting yourself up for success in the kitchen. So having things on hand like chicken stock and beef broth and, you know, all-purpose flour, things like that, that are going to allow you to kind of move and groove in the kitchen without having to run to the grocery store every time you need a new ingredient. And then, you know, tips and tricks. I just always get inspiration from dining out. So just last night, I made just a can of crescent rolls that you can buy in the refrigeration section. And I thought, how can I zhuzh these up a little bit and make them more fun or more delicious? And one of my favorite dishes at a local restaurant, they serve croissants, but they have this glaze of honey butter on top. And I thought, I'm going to take inspiration from that. So I just melted a tablespoon of butter, added a little bit of honey, salt, and chopped parsley, and brushed them right over the top. And my husband came home and saw him sitting there, and he was like, these are better than the restaurant.
I love that. I love that.
To do things like that. So always look for inspiration when you go somewhere, when you're dining, and think about how you can translate that at home.
That is great advice. All right. So let's talk about your amazing new book. This Yay. Is what it looks like. And it's gorgeous. It is filled with some really incredible photos. And what I love the most are some of the stories that you were able to evoke from some of the restaurateurs that are in this book. So tell us a little bit about your favorite stories in writing this.
Oh, gosh. You know, I got to sit down with so many amazing restaurateurs and food people here in the Savannah area. And that was my favorite part about writing the book, is really getting to know the people and the faces behind the brands. Mrs. Wilkes' granddaughter, Marcia Thompson, was one of the ladies that I got to sit with. If you are coming to Savannah, first off, I have to say, you have to get this book because it is like a roadmap to design your own food journey. So it really is.
And you can go to Savannah like how many times, you know, I mean,
never eat at all the places, I'm telling you.
Yes. There's so many delicious choices in here.
Yes. And Miss Marcia Thompson, if you're unfamiliar, Mrs. Wilkes Boarding House has been around for ages in Savannah. And it's a boarding house style restaurant where you go and you eat family style around the table with people that you've never met before. And all the food is brought out. I'm talking about 26 different Southern vegetables like, oh my gosh, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, black-eyed peas, white rice, rutabagas, sweet potatoes. You can only imagine field peas, just a spread like dinner on the grounds at this restaurant. And then they have, they're famous for their fried chicken, which is featured on the cover of my book. And so it's just a wonderful, very unique place to go. And it's been in their family for many years. And what is so cool about it is each meal starts with a prayer from the owners. They come out, say a blessing over the food. And then by the time you leave, you have made friends from all over the world.
What a concept. I love that. Is that something that her parents and grandparents had done? And so she's just carrying on this tradition?
Yes, Ms. Marcia is the granddaughter of Mrs. Seema Wilkes, who was the founder of this restaurant. It had been a boarding house previously, but when her and her husband came to Savannah, they bought it eventually after having worked at the boarding house for about 3 years and made it their own, and it has been right there ever since.
Don't you feel like storytelling in families is so interconnected with our food?
Oh,
yeah. It's really about family history sometimes, and mm-hmm. knowing that this recipe or this tradition of sitting around a family table has been passed down generation after generation. I feel like it's something that connects us to our ancestors. Do you feel like that in your family?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes, I do. There is a tradition we have had since the 1950s in my family, and it's called the cooking. We do it every year on the 23rd of December, and my grandfather's ancestors started it. As long as I've been alive, I've been a part of it. But we get together and we have a pig cooking, a hog cooking, if you will, where we, cook hams and shoulders and all kinds of good meat, sausage on that day. And family members come and bring covered dishes to share. Kids are playing. There's always some good music going. It's just a time to come together and to look forward to the Christmas party, which is always held on that night of Christmas Day, where we eat the meat that we cooked. And my grandfather had a special sauce that he made to go over the meat. And it starts early in the morning, and around 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's ready to start pulling apart. And it's just the best time. And those are the memories and the history that really binds us together and makes you who you are and proud where you come from.
I feel like I can almost smell the aromas of the cooking right now. The way you were describing it, I was like, oh, I want to be there. That sounds like so much fun and so special.
That's really cool.
That is so, so special. In my family, my grandmother on my mom's side was born in Great Britain. She was British, and she used to always make these very special, almost like pastries at the holidays. They were called maid of honors. Mm. And, you know, it's funny. She just had the recipe in her head. I don't know that she ever really wrote it down anywhere. And so since she's been gone, my cousin and I have been trying to recreate her recipe because we want to keep that memory of her alive. And just those flavors, when I bite into the ones that we've made, and we still haven't perfected it, you know, we're still trying to get to the level of the way that Dee Dee made them. But we, even just those flavors all together just bring you back to your childhood and just bring you back to happier memories. And I feel like keeps her memory alive through our family traditions. So
that's so special. And man, such a powerful connection.
It really is. It really is. And I know that all of these restaurateurs and owners in Savannah feel that same way about their recipes. And I think you do such a beautiful job highlighting all of the different types of cuisine. So let's talk about that too. It's not just all Southern food that is featured in Savannah. Of course, we've got lots of great Southern food. You know, Paula Deen's got her restaurant and you know, I know she's one of the most famous Savannans, and we got River Street Sweets, but there are so many different types of cuisines featured. Do you want to highlight a couple of those?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that if you want to come to Savannah and you want to have shrimp and grits in an antebellum mansion, you can do that. But if you want just a down-home burger on the water, you can do that too. It's really a vast place for food. But some of my favorite ethnic cafes that are highlighted, one is called Boabab Lounge, which is part of Plant Riverside District, a huge entertainment district on the end of River Street. And it is African-inspired cuisine. And the visionary behind that was Mr. Richard Kessler, who also is behind Plant Riverside District. So both of those places are featured in Unique Eats and Eateries of Savannah. It is not only great food, it's a great place to go for light bites and things like that. But when you walk in, the decor is sourced from Africa. Many of the paintings, my gosh, there are literal like 14-foot crocodiles hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
Very classy, very inspired place that is a high-end and really a must visit when you come to Savannah. It's like, I think in the lead of the story in the book, I said, you can actually visit Africa without ever stepping on a plane because it is that authentic.
I love that it just transports you there. That is so awesome.
And they have.
I grew up not too far from Georgia. I grew up in Florida. So seafood is very important to me. And I know you found one of the places to get real local seafood, right?
Yes. Yes. That is Erica Davis Low Country in Thunderbolt. And there's a couple of those, but Erica Davis Low Country is absolutely delicious. They have a wonderful Wausau redfish that they do, with a delicious cream sauce over grits. And then there's Desposito's just a few miles from there. Desposito's is featured on the front cover of Unique Eats and Eateries of Savannah. It is, recently reopened in 2023. It was the most anticipated restaurant reopening of the city. It had been closed for a few years under renovations, and it is near the water. They always have live music happening, and you want to talk about some good food. I'm talking about grilled lemons on the plate, just delicious, like, you know, just very much seafood inspired, but just a quintessential southern coastal place to dine.
A must see for sure.
Yes.
And I know you have got so many other restaurants in here. We could talk all day long about them, but I want people to go get your book and read all about it and then plan their trip, because it's just a short drive from Atlanta to get over to Savannah. And it's just such a beautiful city to visit. I've been several times, and I love all of the folklore around ghosts. You know,
yes.
Savannah has lots of visitors, and allegedly haunted places. Is that still alive and well?
Oh, yes, very much so. It is a very alluring city. Many of the stories in the book kind of talk about the ghosts. And there's one place that is the only Edgar Allan Poe themed restaurant in the state of Georgia. And that is Poe's Tavern, which is downtown. It's a great burger joint. So very fitting for a haunted city like Savannah. And yes, ghosts and ghost tours and all that is still very much alive and well here in Savannah, Georgia.
And it's been a location for a lot of Hollywood sets. I know Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, right, was shot in Savannah, and Forrest Gump famously in Savannah. And so you can kind of do little movie tours there too and get some of the culture from the movie sets, right?
You totally can. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because both of those movies had restaurants featured in them that are in the book.
Wonderful.
Clary's Cafe is the famous bar that was featured in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And it is a great breakfast joint. They're known for their chocolate eclairs and good breakfast food. And then Forrest Gump, a scene from that movie was filmed at one of my very favorite places to eat, which is not far from where I live. And it's called Love's Seafood and Steaks. And it is right on the Ogeechee River. And in fact, they just recovered from a big flood that happened here not long ago and have reopened for business and ready to go. So they have crab legs and good sweet tea and all the things. And it is right on the river.
Oh, good for them. I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome.
Yes.
Any other special highlights? Like, if you had to pick one place that you would say it's a must see, you cannot miss it, which one's it going to be? Or is that like asking you to pick a favorite child?
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like asking me to pick a favorite song. I think that is so hard to do, but you know, and I always say food is so personal. So it really depends on what you like, what your tastes are. For me, that's Southern coastal cuisine. So I'm in the right place here in Savannah, but I love, there's a great little spot in Thunderbolt called Driftaway Cafe. And I'm sorry, that's not in Thunderbolt. That is in, it's a small little community called Sandfly. Almost got it wrong there. It's called Sandfly, and it is called Driftaway Cafe. And it's just a fabulous local spot for Sunday brunch. And after church on Sunday for lunch, you could go. They have, they're famous for their shrimp tacos. And they have paintings all over the wall of local shrimp boats. And just a really fun and lively bar scene and lots of good music out there as well.
Okay, we're booking our trip. I am ready to go, but don't go to Savannah without Rebecca's new book, Unique Eats and Eateries of Savannah, The People and Stories Behind the Food. This is really beautifully done. I know this is like putting your baby out into the world, and yes, you should be quite proud.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, y'all go and get it anywhere that books are sold. And is there anything that you want to share about where people can follow you and learn a little bit more from some of your other books or from some of your online classes or teaching?
Yeah, absolutely. You can visit my website. That's RebeccaLingenfelser.com. I'd love for you to follow me on Instagram at SKG Food Blog. That's SKG, like some kind of good. And on Facebook, Some Kind of Good. The very first book that I wrote is by that title, and it's right here behind me on the shelf. It talks about the cooking that we talked about, that family tradition. It's full of just great stories like that. But I would love for y'all to connect with me, and just thank you so much for having me today. It's been great to talk with you.
I have enjoyed it so much. Thank you for sharing all of your expertise, and we're going to Savannah. We're on the way now.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Rebecca.